The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back to more. My mate bought a toaster. My name's Tom Price, and today's Samantha Baines is being played by the wonderful Beth Granville. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Thanks for being Sam Baines for us.
Pleasure.
She couldn't do it, so screw her. She's dead to me now. And joining us today, a humongously brilliant comedian, writer, actor, performer, radio presenter now as well, Matthew Crosby.
Hello.
I mean, which one do you want to take out of those? Just the brilliant bit, or what?
Yeah, I'll just say the brilliant Matthew Crosby. I'm very happy with that.
Okay, just professionally brilliant.
Professionally brilliant. Yeah. I'll accept that.
But Pappy's Fun Club, that's what... Well, Pappy's, of course, that's why people will know you.
Yeah. Potentially, if they know me at all.
If they know... Well,
but, yeah, they might know me from Pappy's, mm-hmm. which is the sketch team I'm a part of, and a sort of podcast team as well, I guess, more so than sketches these days. We're doing a podcast called Pappy's Flatshare, so you might have heard that.
Yes,
you might have heard me on Radio X. Sunday mornings.
You two are on... Well, obviously, I haven't heard you on a Sunday morning.
Because no, because you're on Sunday mornings. I hear you in the Uber travelling to Radio X.
I'm entertaining the comedians as they go and arrive for their job. That's my radio voice. You probably heard that.
It's really good.
Yeah, no, it's Phil Collins. It's just how I do it. It's just really... Quite actually, that's a little bit...
It's a bit creepy.
Sinister, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe why I keep getting asked to go and meet the boss. Matthew, thank you for doing this. Are you a regular and frequent purchaser on Amazon?
I am, yeah. And I do feel bad about it because, obviously, I mean... The great unspoken is that they're a terrible, evil corporation.
It's very much spoken on this podcast.
Oh, is it?
We are not in no sense affiliated. And I would love it if they could pay some tax. It would be ideal.
Yes.
It's astonishing how little tax they paid last financial year. So, no, it is very much spoken. Yeah, they are evil. But then everyone comes on and says how evil they are. And then I say, you spent £1 million a year.
This is what you bought, yeah. It's basically because it's very easy not to leave your house.
Yeah,
you know?
That's great.
That's the problem. I haven't gone into the Amazon, Amazon doing my shopping yet.
No.
I've not got onto, the big shop.
Yeah.
I've not got onto that. I mean, in fact, I don't even really use, occasionally, if it's something important like Christmas, we'll do an Ocado or something like that.
Yeah.
But generally, I still like going down the shops for a big shop.
Now, you've just become a dad.
I have.
3 months in. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Amazing news. I'm not going to, I don't want to do that thing of people who have older kids being completely patronising, but...
Oh, patronise away.
My nature is quite patronising anyway.
Sure.
What's going to happen is we used to go and do the shop, and then actually with kids, basically the idea of leaving the house is horrifying anyway, you know, with the news agenda these days. Why would you ever leave the kids?
Yeah, absolutely.
The house? It's awful.
It's a scary time.
Then when you have kids, you're even less likely to. You're just like, do you know what? Playground, home, lock the door. We just get everything online now. So you do lean on Amazon more and grocery shopping as well. We just do it all online, but it's just, that's just what happens.
But isn't there a point, because your kids are...
Seven and three.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So your kids are 7 and 3. Is there not a point? Because sometimes, in fact, in the run up to having a kid, you end up. I don't know if you had this when you had your first kid. You end up watching dads with their kids.
Yes.
And you try and do it as sort of surreptitiously as possible because obviously watching little kids is not on.
But you can't do that. No,
no, it's not.
The binoculars and the notepad.
Exactly.
No,
yeah.
That, yeah.
But I ended up watching a lot of sort of interactions between dads and kids just to see what it will be like. You know, when I'm doing some solo parenting.
Yeah.
And one of the things I thought seemed really fun was seeing dads take their kids round the shop and pick out the things they wanted and talk about and compare prices and stuff. Although now I say it out loud, it feels like, why make a 45-minute shop last 4 hours?
Exactly, yeah. Well, I mean, unless you choose to make it an activity, unless you're like, oh, fuck, I've got nothing to do with them today. Let's go to Sports Direct.
That was an amazing moment where old me had formed an opinion, the me of, say, 7 or 8 months ago, who had a pregnant wife and was like, I'm going to be just such an amazing dad. Yeah. And now current me was going, well, no, you thought that when you were young and feeble-minded, but actually this is the reality of it.
It's like two continental plates meeting, old Matthew Crosby and new Matthew Crosby. You are now meeting on the fault line and you're realising that the old guy, he didn't have a fucking clue.
Absolutely.
And I'm here to patronise you and tell you, that guy, he didn't have a fucking clue. You're going to do everything you can to stay in the house and buy everything online.
It's nice in my house. I do like it.
So we're going to go right back to the beginning of your Amazon shopping. Beth, have you gone back to 2003? Have you seen? That's his first year.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, my God.
That's what I was just doing then.
Right, my stomach's just dropped out now. I'm sure this is what happens to everyone who goes in this, but I sort of assumed we'd go through the last couple of months and...
It's right too. It's a very scary film, so you had the right reaction there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it will make your stomach drop. You've gone for Frankenstein from 1931, which in 2003 was only about 10 years earlier. So,
right, yeah.
Which you spent, and this is adorable, £20 on a DVD. That's a very 2003 thing to do.
Oh my God. Did I drop 20 quid on a DVD? That's Well, I'll tell you now, that was being paid for by Cumberland School, where I was teaching at the time. I was a teacher in East London, and this was, I can tell you about this immediately because I remember this. This was classic lazy teacher folly of you're teaching a book, you go, well, I'll buy the DVD, I'll show them the DVD. The kids who can't be bothered to read the book will get the story of Frankenstein. Of course. Of course, the Frankenstein of the Boris Karloff movie, there's no similarity to the book. It's not Mary Shelley's Frankenstein at all.
So were you sort of half an hour into the film when you realised that? And the kids were screaming and you realised you just bought a horror film for some children?
Well, here's the thing as well. I was actually off on an inset day. So I thought, I'll use that as the thing. I'll just tell it. Also, inset days, when you're away... Have you found something?
No, I do teaching as well, and just I know the worst thing is just showing something you haven't seen. Yeah. It's like putting YouTube up on the screen and go, guys, should we all just watch this? I did it with Funny Bones, and then there's people comment, the shit people comment. Oh,
and they can see it.
Yeah, of course they can see it.
So when you haven't screened something before showing it to kids.
Well, I left teaching before the age of... plugging your laptop in.
Because which they all do now. Having gone around my kids' school, and they have days where the parents come in, you can see all the parents going, bloody hell, this is easy. They just run an app.
Yeah,
easy.
Interactive whiteboards were just coming in as I was leaving the teaching profession, but you need two laptops there, don't you? I don't want to be crude early doors, but you don't know what you've left on the screen late at night.
You need to get a nice clean Acer.
A lovely clean. It doesn't matter how slow it runs. Part of the fun will be just it loading up.
Yeah.
That'll kill 7 minutes of the lesson.
Okay, kids. Let's have our buffering 7 minutes. So Frankenstein. So you showed it. Did you show it to the kids? Or
I left it for a supply teacher to show to the kids, and then kind of forgot about it basically until I started getting in essays that would talk about the bit where they find the tiger's brain and they stick the tiger, and I was like, this isn't in the book, and I couldn't work out where this had come from, and obviously this had come from the 1931 movie. So if any young teachers, any young lazy teachers who fall into the profession, don't try and use Amazon to get your way out of actually teaching the class,
because it won't work. So how long were you teaching for? So it's 2003 at this point. How much longer? Because that's when I first met you. We were first gigging together and you were still a teacher.
I probably started comedy in about 2004.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so I left university in about 2002 and did a year of teacher training, a year of proper teaching, and then 2 years of supply.
So
and
you
then
can see
I was out of it.
You can see the comedy roots are sort of, you know what I mean? They're mingling around there. There's something fertile. Green Shoots. We've got Live from New York, which is a fantastic book.
Oh my God, the Tom Shales book.
Amazing. I've got it as well. It's
fantastic.
Vast as well.
All about Saturday Night Live.
It's the Tolstoy for comedians to read. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's the oral history of Saturday Night Live. I love that book so much. To the point where when I was planning my wedding, they were saying, could you pick a section from your favourite book to read? And I'm like, well, I can't, because it'll be from Tom Shales' Live from New York, and no one wants to know about the, Billy Crystal blacked up.
I do. Yeah,
I mean, of course you do, but yeah, sure.
It's very resonant for a wedding.
Yeah. Sure. I love it. I mean, Saturday Night Live is one of those things where, God, this is going to sound awful, but like, because of the internet, everyone's into it now.
Yes.
But when I was a kid, I was obsessed with it, and I had like books about it, and I had a CD-ROM that had old sketches on, that I could plug into my, old PC.
So the clean Acer. Do you find yourself, when people go on about SNL, go, I've seen this SNL sketch, is not part of you? That same sort of, in the 90s, any indie band that someone else found out, was like, no, they were mine, but Manson are mine.
Yeah.
Is part of you like, oi, SNL, sure, you've watched a clip on Twitter, but you aren't a true fan.
Sure. All these people who came in around David S. Pumpkins, come on.
Was it Dick in a Box they did?
Dick in a Box.
That was when I went, oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Those were the digital shorts they started doing. Yeah. But I used to have, again, back in the day, I used to spend money on DVDs. I'd have like the best of Will Ferrell, the best of Mike Myers, or the best of John Belushi.
True fan, this guy. True fan.
Yeah. I mean, how can you... The thing with Saturday Night Live is, if you watch full... Because I think I got a DVD of old full episodes.
Yeah.
And they're unwatchable. Like, this is the thing about Saturday Night Live. It's kind of like it was ahead of its time, and it's perfect for the internet. Because one in four sketches works brilliantly, yeah. and that's the one that everyone watches, you know, on Monday morning rather than having to wade through a 90-minute show.
Yes, but as an up-and-coming comic, and Beth, you'll agree with this as well, when I'm going to Edinburgh and watching things like SNL in their full glory and seeing the weak links, that's when you watch something and go, oh, I could do this, actually.
Yeah, correct.
Their brains have got an impressive bits as well. Because if you're just watching The Dynamite, you're like, oh, no, I'm not explosive enough for this. But if you go to Edinburgh, if you watch all those shows, you start to think, oh, actually, I could fucking have a go at this.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I was saying this the other day, that because we're working on a sketch show at the moment, and I'm always one to go, oh, it's got to be as good as Partridge, otherwise I'm not fucking doing it.
Sure.
But we were talking about sketch shows, and I was like, really, some of the best hours of sketch comedy and half hours on TV, there's only ever really four sketches you go away and talk about and really belly laugh at.
Yeah.
The rest is filler.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. Why can we only create four banging sketches in an hour, you know?
Four candles, mate. There you are.
Yeah. Lovely. Candles. Lovely link.
A lovely link.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but certainly a good link.
Listen, my
cracking reference to a cracking sketch.
You're one of them sitting in your Ubers on the way to Radio X. None of this makes any sense.
Sure.
But here's Phil Collins.
Four Yorkshiremen, four candles, four good sketches. There you go.
The rule of four. It's a podcast they should do, really. Let's look at 24th of September 2003. A slightly odd choice here. And Beth, I want you to have a look at this for me. And
24th of September.
Yeah, okay. You'll remember it well. What were you doing on the night of the 24th? I can tell you, you were reading Inappropriate Relationships, The Unconventional, The Disapproved, and The Forbidden. Have you been contemplating incest? What's going on?
I'll tell you. Well, firstly, I was going to say that's the day before my brother's birthday. So I was
you were about to fuck your brother for his birthday.
It was a last minute gift. Right. 2004. I think this would have been 2003. Sorry, my apologies. 2003. Right. I was living with a forensic psychologist who didn't have an Amazon account. So what actually happened was I bought a lot of these are research books about
officer.
Exactly. I leapt back so much I pulled my headphones
That's
out.
That's really nice. Do you want to have a bottle of these?
I can plug them in.
These are a bit longer, so you can do them.
I can plug them in here. God. It's all right. I'm good. Yes, that was it. I physically, my fight or flight instinct kicked in there, and I threw myself backwards. But yeah, she's a doctor of forensic psychology. I won't tell you exactly what she specifies in because it's a comedy podcast. We're trying to have fun here. But,
so should we not click through on this link to find out what this book is about?
I would say don't chase down this. There's going to be a handful of academic books that are heavy.
Okay.
You know.
In literally and also metaphorically.
Absolutely. And probably price-wise as well. They're already expensive, aren't they?
Academic, £68.36.
That's an academic
if
book
If you want
for
that
you.
In hardback.
Yes.
What? 68 quid.
That's and nobody's ever reviewed it because they're all buying it for a friend.
Can we write a review on your behalf that just goes, hilarious?
Yeah, go for it.
Can we
sure,
do it?
Sure.
Just put a one-word review, hilarious, and then put the title hilarious and maybe just the content lols or something.
Sure, yeah, great.
How many stars do you want to give it?
Oh, it's got to be full five.
Full five.
Yeah, we'd never be cruel.
This person's going to be absolutely loving this.
Yeah.
Write a headline, just hilarious.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, laugh out loud. I mean, I genuinely have. I mean, I can kind of guess what this book is about, and I already feel guilty about this. But you know what?
Sometimes you've got to laugh at.
Sometimes you've got to
horrific things.
You've got to have a gallows humour about these things, haven't you?
Yes.
You've got to have a gallows humour. I will, of course, go straight back on and find that and delete the review.
clearly. But for the purposes of this podcast, we're actually doing this.
We're doing
it
for real.
I have taken a screenshot.
Okay,
so.
Great. We've got proof. Toasty nerds. So, 2004 comes along. You've only made one order in the whole year, and that's Seinfeld, seasons 1, 2, and 3.
And I think 2004 was
£43.
£43
available
for those
now for free on Amazon Prime.
I know, it's mad, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm so sorry, what year are we in?
2004. No, just with the one order, 2004.
So that was the year I became a comedian. What month is that?
September, 27th of September. Maybe it's your brother's birthday again.
No, he was 25th, so I would have missed it. So it was definitely a purchase for myself. Mm. But yeah, I wouldn't have had it. That would have been around the time when I was still teaching, but I was also gigging. So I wouldn't have had time to watch anything.
Doesn't part of you, considering the success that you have gone on to have, you know, your live shows and your TV shows and your awards that you've won, doesn't part of you look back on you looking at the comedy here and, you know, reading about Saturday Night Live, think, fucking hell, I've done some stuff here, guys.
I've done some research.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
But, you know, I don't mean emotional reserves. Like, doesn't part of you look back and feel pride? Don't you want to go back to that Matty Crosby in 2003 and 2004 and go, hey, man, you keep reading those books, guys, because this is going to work. I did look at the stuff I've done.
Because one day a DVD of your sitcom will be available for £43 on eBay.
No, that'll be on Amazon Prime for free. But still, amazing. I love that sort of stuff. So 2005, absolutely precisely zero. No orders at all.
Okay, so we're getting into the phase now of no money.
2006, absolutely nothing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we are...
I wish I could say I was like ahead of the curve with boycotting Amazon.
This is not a moral thing.
This is either like no time or no money. Mm-hmm. I think
probably because you're too busy paying tax.
Too busy paying all of my tax, for my proper job, mm-hmm. and obviously all the cash in hand gigs that I definitely pay tax on.
Yeah, every single time. Always put a little bit of that cash away for the tax man or indeed woman. 2008, zero purchases. I mean, you've really gone dark. When you leave teaching behind, you also leave shopping behind as well.
I think actually, if you spoke to any of my friends, they would go, yep, that sounds like, yeah, we didn't really see you between, you know. In fact, I had crisis talks with several friends. I don't know if you had this when you first started doing comedy, or if you've had this as well, where people go, once you throw yourself into it, especially, you know, in your 20s, you really get, like, I really went for it. I was gigging every night. I would go anywhere, you know, travel up to Scotland just to do a gig that I would probably break even on, or maybe lose a little bit of money on generally
for me. Yeah, those 40 quid gigs in Scotland is very hard to cover your transport.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Although you can put that is two nights at a B&B in Paisley, so, you know.
Sure, but then how do you get up and down? So
hitchhike.
Did you ever hitchhike to a gig?
I didn't. I went for the less safe option, which was driving with comics.
Yeah, that's true. Getting a lift off Nick Coppin.
And his Ford Cavalier.
Exactly,
remember that?
Yes. Big shout out to Nick.
Yeah.
I think I had talks with friends where they were like, have you outgrown us? I was like, no, but I now work all day and incredibly antisocial hours. When I was teaching and doing comedy, I would get up, I think, at about 5:45 to get ready to go into school.
Good God.
Because I was working in Canning Town, and I was living in southeast London, so I was miles away. But it was the school I trained at, so that's where I ended up teaching.
Yeah.
So I would I'd get in there for, I don't know, I guess about 7-ish. And then I would race out of the front door when the bell went. You know, like how when the kids can tell it's about to get to 3:30, you could see them sort of putting their coats on. And sort of,
you were doing
I was that.
That
guy. Yeah, yeah. I was like, I would beat the kids. At, like one time, the head actually took me aside and said, "Look, we saw you. You were the first out the gates before
really
any of the kids." I was like, "Well, I was." You know, that was the last year I worked there.
Amazing.
But
I had a gig in Norfolk. I had to go.
Well, this is it. I would, if I had a gig out of town, then obviously I was going straight to King's Cross and front straight up. Yeah. Or I was going, if I had a gig in town, I would go home and I'd try and get an hour's sleep.
Yeah.
And then I would take my marking and do the marking at the back of the gig.
Wow.
And
I thought you were just stealing
that's
all my jokes.
Rock and roll.
You were writing things down the back of the gig. No, Tom. No. That is, but Beth, you do that because you still do a bit of teaching now,
yeah,
right?
I do, yeah.
So does that resonate with you as you got?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, sorry, guys, just hold that tableau, hold that freeze frame 2 seconds. I've just thought of a really good tweet.
See if I get any likes. If you love me, really, baby, don't walk out that back door. And all that to love you, I think I love you when I'm without you. Doesn't matter that my late night call. Heavy Pencil, a new comedy from Great Big Owl, the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork.
The Observer called it a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
No. I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant.
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Great Big Owl.
So we're going to skip ahead lots of years where you don't spend any money on Amazon. Then 2010, you come back, you resurface. Like, we've gone through the dark ages now. He's back. Matthew Crosby's back. He's got cash to splash. And he's, again, spending it on comedy. Lots of Charlie Brooker stuff here, which is obviously fantastic. It's just the best. You've also bought David Aronovich, Voodoo Histories, How Conspiracy Theory Has Shaped Modern History.
Did I now? You know what? I not only don't remember buying that, I don't remember reading it.
Hey, I'll tell you why. It's absolutely fine. No guilt required. It's a gift for David Crosby.
Oh, okay, there we go. Yeah, so David Crosby, my other brother.
Ah.
So that's around May time, would that be?
June, love. It's in June.
Ooh, missed his birthday.
Someone's a bit self-obsessed with their comedy career.
Missed his birthday by, I mean, he was 31st of May, so I think June is still, how late in June?
4th to 14th.
That's a fortnight of, and also as well, bear in mind, this is pre-Amazon Prime. So this isn't arriving on the 15th.
No.
This is arriving on the 27th.
Yeah.
And then I'm posting it to, and then I'm posting it to him probably. Apologies. But I don't remember that at all. But it sounds like,
was he late? He only spent £26.52 on you as well, David. Just if you're listening.
Yeah, bad. Oh, sorry, Davey.
But you know what? This is lovely because we're seeing how comedy has captured you. You've been hijacked by your need to do comedy. 2012. Let's have a quick look over 2012. What have we got here? You've got Portlandia, Life, Keith Richards, Going to Sea in a Sieve, the brilliant Danny Baker. I love that book.
Do you know what? I'm reading his third book now.
Oh, really?
Which I've only... in fact, I'm currently reading it, which is, I think it's called On the Turn. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting for Danny Baker, who is, you know, he is a relentlessly chirpy bloke,
yeah,
to write about, because he's obviously he was very, very sick when he wrote this. Well, it was after he was very, very sick.
Yeah.
But it's interesting listening to a bloke talking about, you know, he kind of can't stay on the, it's basically a cancer memoir.
Yeah.
But he can't stay on the story for more than about 30 seconds, you know, like half a page on, he's going, did I tell you about the time I saw Earth, Wind and Fire in, you know, 1971? He loves it.
What a life. And also what an ability to recall stuff, Danny Baker. Because I always feel like I could do all the same things he's done, but I just forget everything.
Yeah.
Danny Baker, always one of those people. Stephen Fry's like it as well. They talk and they just go, oh, there was this thing. Oh, there was this thing. And you're just jumping around going, that Rolodex, you know what I mean? When they go, and they just grab you a story.
I can't remember anything unless I've got my Amazon page open in front of me. That's the only way I can recall stories.
This is the perfect podcast. January 2012, interesting, The Map and the Territory by Michael Houellebecq.
Yes.
Who, of course,
Michel Houellebecq.
Michel Houellebecq, who's just got a new book out now, actually. $8.99, closed due to lack of payment. What's going on here, Matthew Crosby?
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So I can only assume I didn't update my cards.
Oh,
or
sure.
I got a card.
Yeah. Fine, no worry about it. I'm not judging you. It's cool, man. It's cool.
What year is it?
2012.
Oh, the year the money ran out. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yes, now I think. Yeah, that was the year the money went. That was when all the doors closed.
Because he's Michel Houellebecq. He wrote. Was it Atomized?
He wrote Atomized. Yeah,
he's just a lot of fucking.
Yeah, a lot. It's very grubby, and also like increasingly, his books have become more and more, I think the word is Islamophobic.
Yes.
He's quite a controversial writer, and that book is about a cartographer, I think. But yeah, I find the way. Oh God, it's always tricky, isn't it? When people you write horrible things.
Well, C. Morrissey, basically.
C. Morrissey. Yeah, but the thing with Morrissey is everybody loved his songs, you know, and then he started saying some horrible stuff.
Mm.
But I loved these books that contained horrible things.
The
stuff was there. Yeah, it's not like he suddenly turned into a racist. He had racism sort of in him all the way through.
Yeah.
I just think he's a brilliant writer. To be fair, I probably haven't read one of his books for about 5 years.
Right, right.
But
just like the idea of you having a nice time reading a book on a bus, this Michel Houellebecq, and suddenly looking around, you going, everyone's staring at me like I'm reading some sort of B&P
like
manual.
Mein Kampf.
Yeah, exactly. What have you got, Beth? What can we find
out
some more?
Just reading a one-star review and like safe in the knowledge you haven't written it because you've just said you love all this stuff.
Well, hang on a sec. No.
You absolutely love this. You sing along to these books.
Let's be very, very careful in saying I don't love racism, but I am not averse to reading the opinions of somebody I disagree with.
Uh-huh.
Is that fair?
Oh, that's clever. Yeah, that's clever. See what you've done there. It's a bit like following Farage on Twitter. Yeah, okay.
I saw Farage the other day.
Did you? Oh, of course, because you work in the same building as him.
I work in the same building as him. And he gets in bright and breezy. Like 3 hours before he does his show and just sort of prowls the corridors.
Oh, gross.
And it's so... You know the bit in... You know Sam Rockwell's character in Frost Nixon, who hates Nixon?
Yes.
And then when he sees him, sort of like slightly crumples and goes, Mr. President. I slightly did that with Farage. Like he was walking down the corridor and when... You know, and also I'm in Global, the Global building, at 7 a.m. on a Sunday. So it's a ghost town. Mm. None of the other stations are operating. I mean, they're all operating.
It's pre-recorded.
A lot of pre-recorded. Yeah. Occasionally, there's a guy over in Capital Extra who I wave to, but that's it.
Don't know his name.
Don't know his name. I mean, he's always broadcasting. I've never had a chance to go in. I'm sure it's on a sign outside the door that I could read. But anyway, we always wave to each other and give a thumbs up. But because I saw another human being on my way to the loo.
It was Farage. He's not a human being.
I know. That's I just went, morning.
Oh, you didn't.
And he went,
obsequious fawning bastard.
And he went, hello. And then I went into the toilet, and I went into the cubicle, and I could tell it was the cubicle he'd just used because the water was still rippling from the flush, and he had weed all over the floor.
Fuck off.
And you're like, come on, it's Sunday morning.
Of course he did, it's Nigel
Farage. Of course, that's what he's doing.
The cleaners won't be in till Monday.
He's treating that toilet like he's treating the country.
Exactly, he's pissing all over it.
Oh, there's a gossip podcast for that kind of stuff.
I wanted to tell that story on air, and they said, but I probably don't.
That's astonishing. So Nigel Farage, messy pisser.
Messy pisser.
Not a surprise at all.
No
of course
way.
He is. No, it's not, is it?
Oh, sorry. Nigel Farage.
Now I've made you all think of Nigel Farage's, you know, ablutions.
Oh, Jesus.
I just read a 2-star review of your book, Arrogant Intellectual. And it was just nicely timed with while you're mentioning Farage.
Yeah, speaking
of which, I don't know if he's intellectual.
Can I just say as well, it's not my book.
So what else have we got on Matthew's favourite racist book? He's got a few favourite racist books, but anything else there?
Disappointing.
Oh, Michel Houellebecq, if you're listening.
An okay book.
Okay.
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly book.
I mean, it's hard to go to a review of a book after we've just found out that Nigel Farage pisses on the floor. I know.
Yeah. I should have been reading the reviews, and I was so engaged in that top-corking anecdote about Farage's manners.
IKEA made that toilet cleaner called the Farage. Maybe that's because they knew.
Yes, they knew. Of course they knew.
So, I want to just... 8th of July 2012. Beth, see if you can see this as well. Roll on, roll on. Tom Paley's Old Time Moonshine Review.
Yes. You remember this?
Tell us about what it is, please.
It's a great album. It's kind of... old country.
Okay.
I guess like sort of Woody Guthrie type stuff. But I heard a song, so this would have been, we're saying 2012.
Yeah.
And it's what month?
July, 8th of July. Very near my birthday, but you didn't get me that year.
I didn't know.
No.
You've got to wait a fortnight for that.
Sure, okay.
I would have been, July, I would have been travelling around the country previewing last show ever, the final Pappy's show.
Okay.
And we listened to a lot of late night Radio 2.
Yes.
Which, you know, so Steve Lamacq had a show, Late Night Radio 2, where he would play a lot of weirder music. In fact, was it Steve Lamacq's show? But it was certainly some late night Radio 2 shows that would play. Maybe it might have even been Whispering Bob Harris.
Yes.
But,
Of course.
Whispering Bob Harris.
Tom Harris.
Tom Paley's old time. And, There was a song about shooting a bird, and it's kind of like a funny song. I think it's called A Horse Named Jim.
Okay,
and it's about
we'll put it on there. I'll stick it on the bit of the podcast.
Play a little bit of horse. Yeah. I think it's called Horse Named Jim, and there's it's all about it's just a sort of silly kind of oldie Americana country type song.
Let's have a little listen.
I'm going out to the wood next year. I'm gonna hunt for beer and not for deer. I'm a great sharp shootress at shooting birds. I am a beaut. There is no bird that I can't shoot in the eye, in the ear, in the nose, and in the fingers.
Very nice. I like that, Matthew.
It's a good album.
We've got lovely ears.
And again, back in the day when I was still purchasing CDs.
Yes. Any good reviews of that, Beth?
They're all 5-star. Everyone bloody loves this.
Oh,
Whiskey, Women, Heartbreak. What's not to like?
Love it.
Good service. Well worth buying. Lovely disc. Good music.
lovely disc.
Was it not scratched, I guess. Is that a lovely disc?
The thing we always find is people saying prompt delivery. People give something an amazing review.
The
product's crap, but it arrived on the day I ordered it. Prompt delivery, 5 stars.
I love ones that end in, what more can I say?
I think prompt delivery is a good one because... It's basically the speed you get stuff is key.
Especially with Amazon, because you're doing so much impulse buying. It's so instant gratification.
You just want it now, don't you? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think even like yesterday, my wife and I, we were starving, we were walking home, and there's a new cafe that's just opened up over the road.
Yeah.
And we were like, do we go home and make food, or do we go to the cafe and get food?
Mm.
And we went to the cafe, and... luckily, the food came really quick. And that was sort of that was the big thing for us was it didn't... Because the food arrived so quickly... I mean, it was good, but it didn't matter
It could have been hot baked beans, and you'd have been thrilled.
Well, it was a fry up, so it was hot baked beans.
Oh,
so, I tell you, here's the thing: I had a veggie fry up yesterday. I know this isn't. We've gone off topic from the.
No, answer. We love a tangent. Love a tangent.
So see if you think the vegetarian fry up.
Yeah.
See if you think these things belong on the veggie fry up.
Oh yeah, go on then. Yeah.
Okay.
Love this.
So, there was ratatouille.
No.
No, of course not.
Sort of roasted veg.
No.
And
no,
tomatoes. No. That's not. There was a lump of that on the side.
Well, no, clearly not.
Hummus.
No.
No.
What?
Hummus. You don't need. Don't have that.
That's just a fat.
I've been
condiment.
A veggie 28 years, so I'm really qualified.
Okay.
On this.
Okay.
Carry on.
Sliced avocado.
I say no.
It's cold. That's crucially,
no.
It's cold.
No.
And then also as well, I mean, you know what? It was all delicious and I ate it all.
Hang on. Was that it? What, is there anything else?
No, obviously.
Breakfast, is it? You there was want obviously, eggs, veggie, sausages, beans.
So there was scrambled eggs. There was big mushrooms. There was fried tomatoes.
All good.
Tick.
There was beans in a little pot. Obviously, I don't...
Well, you just tip the pot over,
exactly,
don't you? You're not going to take it a bean at a time.
I know. I don't know why they keep the beans.
Beans in ramekins, no.
No, just pour it on.
No.
I'm a grown-up, all right? Just
one
pour
star.
It on. I can deal with it.
I'm going to call this episode Beans in Ramekins, No. That's brilliant.
But then some other extra... Like also as well... Veggie sausage was... Now, we are very far down the line in veggie sausages. The veggie sausage technology is, you know, it's basically as good as it's going to get,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I reckon.
You could fly to the moon on the technology in one veggie sausage.
It's so true, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There is more technology in a veggie sausage than in your iPhone. That's your if you've got a veggie sausage in your pocket, you're basically Elon Musk.
You're very he's very pleased to see me.
But
we're running out of time, Matthew Crosby. So
okay,
I want to skip on ahead. 2013, you bought some mini wooden pegs, plain 100 pack. You bought 100 mini wooden pegs. Anyone care to guess how much 100 mini wooden pegs cost?
Okay, we're in recent years here now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it cost. £4, £4.99.
Okay, 2013. So after the crash, so some people are probably using this for currency.
Sure.
So...
Absolutely, it's a bartering tool.
Yeah. £1.10.
Whoa!
£1.10. That's a punce per peg. More or less, a punce per peg.
It's a punce per peg.
Plus 10, a punce and a bit per peg. It's amazing, really.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah,
still use those pegs.
Do you? Well, you've got your bloody money's worth. I mean, if you use them once, you've got your money's worth.
I don't
out.
Use them
well,
all.
You say that, but... You know that theory about if you spend not very much money on something, it's rubbish?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. These pegs were not something I would purchase again.
Oh, no.
Totally useless. That is not something you want out of a peg, is it? Uselessness.
Sure, some of them ping off, but that's pegs for you.
Listen, this person's absolutely furious and rightfully so because they got, I mean... I love that someone's counted these. They got 90 pegs, not 100.
Oh. Someone Rain Manned
it. And one was broken. Very disappointed.
I want 11p back.
Cheap quality. They break so easily.
Sorry, cheap quality. How much? You paid 99p for them.
Yeah.
What's the...
Unreasonable.
Sure. And
the clips were much smaller than I expected. They were completely useless due to their size.
Oh.
Well, they are small, I'll say that much. And actually, what we use them for now is for pegging stuff
pegging,
in the freezer.
For pegging.
For pegging, yeah. I've got about four of them up my arse right now. They were a little smaller than I expected. I've got to peg them together and then shove them straight up my arsehole. But
doll's clothes.
No, we peg stuff in the freezer.
Nice.
Oh, that's clever.
So right, add in a review. Reply to these guys.
Put it on.
Look,
you can write it for me.
Hang on.
Say great in the freezer and I've got four up my arse right now.
Okay, I'm replying. I completely agree about the size.
Lovely.
Which is why they work so well in the freezer.
Which is why they work so well in the freezer.
And
you
elsewhere.
Can have that for free.
And in the freezer and elsewhere.
Yeah, great.
We'll know what
it means.
He means up his arsehole, but don't write that. So we're running out of time. So what I'm going to do is do like a speed run through some of your products.
Okay.
You can just give us some sort of instant one-word reactions, noises or an excuse
okay,
maybe.
Sure.
So we've got things like the super bright LED headlamp, 18 white LED and 2 red LED things, which sits on your head. So it's like a miner would wear or Matthew Crosby in 2015. It's December 2015. So maybe what you're doing, preparing to Be Father Christmas, or what's happening?
I can tell you exactly what that is. We did a show about the internet at Soho Theatre.
Ah, yeah.
And so a lot of crap stuff I've bought on Amazon around this era would have been Secret Dude Society, which was our show we did at the Soho Theatre.
I see.
Where that was to dress up as a robot. In fact, it was to dress up as Daft Punk.
Oh, yes,
so,
yes.
So we would cover our faces with foil and put two headlights over our eyes. And the great thing about that was, because I played the interviewer, obviously, but Tom and Ben played Daft Punk, yeah. And they get dressed backstage, and then of course wouldn't be able to see. So Daft Punk would have to kind of crawl onto the stage and have to guide them, and then that was great. It was really really fun. There you go.
I love it. Okay, John Niven, Straight White Male, great book.
Great yes. book, yes.
Alan Bennett, A Life Like Other People's, all very good stuff. I Nick Hornby, Funny Girl.
Yes, brilliant, fantastic book. I loved it.
Clearly, Eddie Large, Larger Than Life, My Autobiography.
I used to do reviews on Radio X. I used to do reviews of autobiographies, and I did a section called Rags to Richie, because that was the title of my favourite Shane Richie's autobiography. And that was when I was doing them live at the Edinburgh Festival.
Ah, okay.
So for Josh Widdicombe's radio show, he did a live one at the Edinburgh Festival.
So there's loads of these. You've got Jim Davidson, The Full Monty, The Crankies, Fan Dabby Dozy. These are
so
all...
much shagging in that book.
What, in Jim Davidson or no, in The Crankies?
Or in both, but it's a bit less bleak in The Crankies because they seem to be into it.
All right, let's skip on ahead. We are running out of time. We're going to go to the past 6 months. Okay,
let's see what you've been getting up to. The past 6 months.
Because we've got this this guy who started off as a teacher but had intentions to become a comedian. Then we see you on the road missing all your family's birthdays because you are a travelling comedian. You
yes.
care more about your career than your family.
That's it.
Then we see Mad Props. We see terrible autobiographies. And now we see Matthew Crosby in 2019, 3 months into being a dad.
Yes.
So let's see where this guy has landed. Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah, we are. Pouch Royal Canin Wet Sterilized Gravy Cat Food. He's got cats. That's lovely.
I've got cats. I have a cat, Cosmo. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we got the cat first, and the cat is really upset about the baby. Mm-hmm. Cat can't handle the baby.
Yeah.
And we're sort of slowly...
Nor can they look after the baby, which is fucking infuriating.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah.
What they don't do, though, that comedian Fern Brady said, you do realise that cats suck out baby's breath. Have you heard that as well? It's like an old wives' tale, but
they
she told it to me like,
them.
Yeah, she told me like it was a fact. She's like, oh yeah, it will stand over the crib and suck out the baby's breath. And of course, that isn't what happens. They will sit on babies though and suffocate them, so you've got to be careful. But
they're not sucking out the breath. No.
Not sucking out the breath. No, and I love Cosmo, but yesterday, trying to sort of I'm just trying to be really nice to her. So I was tidying in my bedroom. She was sort of leaping in and out of the cupboard. I forgot about this. Shut the wardrobe and. Charlie found her. My wife found her an hour later, just in my wardrobe, and she's been so pissed off with me for the last 24 hours. She went, "I'm not her friend."
You're now going to live with a sulking cat for the rest of its days.
And if you see my cat's face, she's a short, exotic short hair. They've got a really sulky face anyway, so she just looks even more disappointed.
I love it. I love it. I bet you wouldn't be late for her birthday, though, would you? I bet you get the cat's birthday bang on the day,
Valentine's Day.
There you go. Really?
Yeah, perfect. Valentine's cat. Never
it.
Forget it.
I love it. A lot of pegs, Lakeland soft grip.
Oh my
pegs.
God. I've got a peg problem, guys.
Do you use pegs as bookmarks?
What I love about the pegs as well, and we're going to have to leave it on this, Matthew Crosby, but it's a sign of tremendous rags to riches, because originally you're paying 1p per peg, a punce per peg, and now you're a pack of 20 for £6.59. That's like 30p a peg, mate. Are going well.
I'm doing okay, guys. Hey. I'm not afraid to throw a bit of money around.
It's absolutely wonderful. Matthew Crosby, it's been so nice to hang out with you again and spend some time with you.
It's been lovely hanging out with you guys as well. It's been so fun. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on. And how can we see you? Obviously, we can hear you on Radio X with Ed Gamble, right? On a Sunday morning?
That's right. Sunday mornings, Radio X, 8 till 11 with Ed Gamble. Also, there's a podcast of that, which you can get from wherever you get your podcast.
Very nice indeed. And of course, Pappy's podcast.
Yes, Pappy's podcast, Pappy's Flat Share, which is available again from wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. And it's three different podcasts on the same feed. So there's the live show, which is which is like our little weird panel show called Pappy's Flat Share Slamdown. Then we do Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, where we solve people's problems they have with their flatmates.
Amazing.
And then we have House Meeting, which is just the three of us basically talking bollocks.
So people talking bollocks. That should
finally.
Be... Finally. Yeah, it's about time there were some podcasts
finally
with that.
Three white men talking bollocks.
It's about time we heard their opinions. Beth Gramble, thank you very much for being Sam Baines. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming down. That's it. That's the end of this episode. Thank you very much for listening. Give us a nice rate and review at ToasterPod on Twitter. See you next time. Bye. I love the pretty baby, I don't want you for the rest of my day.
greatbigowl.com.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think I might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out of his wheelchair. About four of us... I mean, we battered him.
And this.
Cheating on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.